Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now is the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. In early March, there was an incredible event happening in New York City called Strong Women Make Big Bordeaux Bottles, and I was privileged to have been invited to attend. The massive on-taking involved 65 of New York's top restaurants and wine bars celebrating women in winemaking with a limited selection of Bordeaux wines by the glass, all poured from double magnum bottles. Unfortunately, I had hip surgery the previous week and was unable to attend, but thanks to the hard work of Stephanie Schwab of Gregory & Vine, I was able to interview three of these amazing women. We talk about male versus female roles and views in the wine industry, the romance of pouring from large format, what it's like living and working in an industry that is such a long tradition, and the feeling you get when someone is enjoying the fruits of your labor. If you enjoy this episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love to be able to hear and share your thoughts on the podcast. Enjoy the conversation. Sláinte. Hey everybody, welcome to Exploring the Wine Glass, sponsored by Dracena Wines. Today I have a very special treat for you on Allure of the Pour. I am sitting down with some incredible women from Bordeaux who produce outstanding wines, and they are here to show the Strong Women. And the event was Strong Women Big Bottles, and I have to first start off with the picture is awesome. I love the photo of all of the ladies with the bottles. Well, they are in New York City, and unfortunately, I was on the wrong coast, like I always am, and I couldn't visit them personally, but they were gracious enough to sit down and have a conversation with me and to share their stories with my listeners. So welcome. Bonjour. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
So if you guys want to do a little brief introduction of who you are, where your winery is located, and we'll start with that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sophie, Sophie Pitieri from Château Faux-Cassassin. It's a 200-year-old estate based in Lystrac-Médoc on the left bank. And we'll talk about the future of the Médoc for my part today.
Hello, I'm Sylvie Courcelle from Château Thiolet. Château Thiolet is a family winery I run with my sister Mary. This is a 100% female estate now. It's located in Entre-deux-Mers at 25 kilometers east from Bordeaux City. And we produce a large range of wine, including dry white wine, rosé, clairé, or different kind of red, crémant as well. So we can talk about it later.
So I'm Caroline Perroma. I'm the owner of Château de Sterrance with Xavier, my husband. I joined him in 2012. I was used to work with Véronique Sander, so it was a pure female team at Château Aubailly. So I spent 15 years with her, and I decided to join my new adventure with Xavier, my husband, at Château de Sterrance. So Sterrance, Château Sterrance is in the Grave appellation. And at the same time, we belong to the Sterrance appellation, the name of the château. Sterrance is the smallest and most confidential appellation of Bordeaux today. So I will be very proud to be an ambassador of this same, very, very small appellation.
That is wonderful. That is amazing. My first question, I don't want to bombard you with female versus male questions, because I'm sure that's what you've been doing for an entire week. But I have to start off with some of that. But then I don't know if they
introduced me a little bit, but my husband and I have a winery in Paso Robles. So I would love to hear some wine making strategies and what you look for in your fruit and that. And but we'll get the female strong stuff and figure out where we go from there. I think in general, winemaking is a male-predominated industry, no matter where you are. But I think the premise in Bordeaux is very strong that it's a male-focused industry. So it's wonderful to see women coming up through it. Do you agree with that concept that Bordeaux is very male-focused?
I think Bordeaux has a very conservative image because it's the weight of tradition is very heavy to carry. But I think it has changed for a long time now, for at least 20 years, because there are more and more women for many years, for sure in production, for making the wine. There are a lot of women still, but the proportion of women is increasing a lot. For example, at the Faculty of Oenology of Bordeaux, today 65% of students are girls. So in Bordeaux, and in 1990 there were only two or three per class. Promotion, now they're 65%. So the women are very well integrated now in the wine industry in Bordeaux.
And are they, so here, the general path is, you know, many people actually don't even go to school. It's all hands-on education. So is that how it is in Bordeaux, where you have a large portion of people who are just going from harvest to harvest to learn hands-on? Or do you see more people, male or female, in school and going that route?
I would say, but I don't have the figures, but I would say that more and more people go to school and learn about it, and it's a part of the big change in Bordeaux, and I would say in lot of wineries of France, the knowledge has increased a lot, and thanks to universities and those specializations.
I think going to school, and for me, it's a very personal, but for me, going to school and getting my diploma of oenologue or my diploma of engineer in agriculture was also a way to say, okay, I have the diploma, I can do it, I'm a woman, but I know I have all the knowledge. So it was a way to prove my father to say, okay, I can do it, I think. So education was really important. To me, in my personal story.
It's interesting to your question, because of course we need education, but I think we had this education. We are the generation like you, we had this chance. But I think now we have a new something is changing again. On each estate, you start to have a diversity of talent. It's incredible to see that. Depending on the size of each estate and of course the goal of each estate, if they wanted to develop in enotourism or if they want to develop with art. You have a lot of people who start to work in the vineyard, but they come from another world. They were chefs in a restaurant and now they are driving a truck. They study art everywhere in the world, and suddenly they arrive and they help you to do your communication, to communicate about the estate. So you have plenty of different talents. I love it. Because I think as a woman we have this flexibility to see the talent of everybody and to say she will help me. She's not from the world of the wine. She will help me in develop my idea, which is organizing, for example, I don't know what for Christmas, a big event around the sweet wine, so I don't know what. But you have in each estate a multiplicity of different talents. And that's fun. So that's more that only an agriculture school. You need it, of course, but you have lot of different talents to arrive.
I agree with Caroline. I think now being a winemaker is not only making wine. It's so much more about, so much more, and you have to be very, very gifty, but talented, but also multitasking. I think it's so important to be multitasking in this.
You agree,
in this job, and I think women can be more multitasking than men. So right. We have that's a good point for us.
But don't tell them.
I have to agree with that 100%. My husband and I, we have the division of labor, and he deals with the legal stuff because I can't sit still long enough to learn the legal stuff or care to learn the legal stuff. And I do everything else. Yeah, I do the social media. I do the selling. I'm the one who's going to the restaurants. I'm doing all that. He's very compartmentalized, where I am, you know, and I agree. I think that is a huge advantage. I think women are able to do that a lot more efficiently than, or effectively than men are, or men do. So do you think that it was more difficult for you to be accepted because you were a female? Like if you have the same credentials as a male, do you think that there would be a difference, or do you think that they're opening up to not seeing the gender? That's a tough question to actually answer, honestly, I'm sure.
I think it was new for them. We have to be honest. We say, okay, it's not a problem anymore. But 20 years ago, they were happy to see a young girl arriving in the team, but they were the boss. And I think in terms of management, it took time and it takes time because when you are alone in the middle of of men, only when you are the only woman, they are very strong to, when you start to speak, and I think we have another way to go into a conversation, we think a little bit differently, and when they are all together, they break your energy sometimes, it needs time to wait, they finish to speak, and again, you say, okay, I continue, I will speak again. I am part of the bureau from the syndicat de Graves, from the old Graves appellation. I am the only woman again. And I think it takes time. It's not so easy because they have their codes and we have another code, and sometimes it's complicated to explain exactly what you want to say.
Right.
It needs energy. But I think we have lot different questions in the cellar. It was complicated, of course, 20 years ago, because before it was forbidden for women to go into the cellar, because they were breaking the arrows, turning the wine, so it was very, very bad. Mm-hmm. It's a question of, are you strong enough to move the tubes, to when you are pregnant, is it possible? It needs another organization, mm-hmm. and it's a chance when you work in a team who accept to reorganize the things, the 6 months you are pregnant, the 6 months you have something, or if it's too heavy, and voilà. So I think it needs time. It's coming, and we are complementary, but we have good points and bad points in the technical cellar, and we have to know that.
When I was born in 78, my father was crying because he had a second daughter. So I'm not sure I was so well accepted, because in his mind, you know, nobody could take over the business after him, because he had another daughter. So it was funny how fast the things have changed, because now we were with my sister. So I'm not sure at that time women were so accepted. For him, it was impossible to imagine that we would manage the vineyard together. So it's true that, you know, things have changed, but it took at least, I think it took like 40 years to be so well accepted.
It's difficult to change tradition.
I think we have the chance to, I don't know if you have children, but our children, so the next generation, for them it's something, it will be easier, I think, because they are architects, they are doctors, they are everything you can imagine, and so for them it's not a problem. The only question, we spoke about that yesterday, we hope they will not forget. Sometimes it's difficult to keep your place in as a woman, so they have to be realistic and to know. But I think they are much more relaxed, the girls, with this question.
Okay.
As we are. Well.
I do. You know, things. It's always easier to just keep rolling with, you know, the snowball that's going down the hill. And if you're the person or the group or that generation that is forcing, you know, trying to stop that snowball and change its direction, it's tough for that generation. But once you divert that snowball down a new path, the people behind you have a lot easier thing, a lot easier path. And I think that they're, you know, I've asked this question to pretty much every female winemaker. You know, there's awards for best female winemaker. And although that's an honor, like, wouldn't we rather just be best winemaker?
The same thing happens in cooking, for example. In France also, we have as a chef, you have to prove. I think it's not only about in the wine industry that you have this kind of fight or this kind of shift. So it's in your life, you know, women are to show maybe a little bit more than, but in general life, I would say, not only in the wine industry.
Correct.
But we are not unhappy. Huh? No, it's okay. We can manage.
We don't complain.
No.
We don't want to complain.
No. So in terms of winemaking process, have you all worked your way through the whole process? Started as the cellar rat? I don't know if I guess we call it a cellar rat. Is that what you call it in Bordeaux? The person who does all of the grunt work, the cleaning, all of that stuff. Have you worked your way up through that process?
I do. I failed in a tank when I was a baby, so I was involved in the winemaking process very young. So yes, and I want to keep doing it, because even if I'm in charge of the sales, I want to know my wines perfectly. I want to be able to talk about it and to give details. I think that's really important, and this is what I like in my job. It's also to participate to the winemaking process. And I am lucky because this is a family estate, so I can replace my sister. We are very complementary, and also we can replace each other. That's important to participate to the big event. And I think these ladies also, I'm sure they're involved in the blending, in maybe not in all the process, but for the big moment, it's important to get everybody's point of view.
Yes, right. That's what I do. I'm more focused on sales and marketing, so maybe I wasn't cellar rat, but maybe I was a cell rat on the field and trying to sell wine, and maybe I was among the first women doing that for Bordeaux company at the beginning. But yes, today, for all the very strategic steps of the vinification, of the winemaking process, I do take part because it's so important to be aware of the quality of the estate, of the wines, and also about the, maybe the difficulties, and to be able to talk about it with all the team in the vineyard, in the cellar, because we are like a very small company, and we are not in only on one task, but all together on the same way with the same target. So the sharing the successes and also the difficulties.
So, and I am not a cellar rat. My husband is a cellar rat. His family estate. I arrived as I was 20 years old. And my passion is the vineyard. So every morning when I am in Terrence in the morning, I spend minimum 30 minutes or 1 hour, depending on my timing, in the estate. And I start at 8 o'clock with our team. And so my passion is really to take care of the team outside and to follow every day what happened, the different work we have. And for me, it helped me at the beginning a lot to know each plot. And now, because we are in a sustainable process like everybody here, it's a great, great, great way to help me during the blend. So I take care in the vineyard. Xavier is in the cellar, and we meet together during the tasting and the blend. Because I know each tank, each plot, and he takes the really after, and I really love to be in the vineyard. So I am not specialist in the cellar, but I am more focused on in the vineyard, and I am in charge of the sales and the communication. So lot of different jobs too. Like you.
Yeah, so I love being in the vineyard too. We do not grow our own fruit. We source our fruit because it takes so much time and so much effort, and we want to focus our abilities onto the wine making part of it. And we source from farmers that are experts in growing the fruit the way we want it to be grown. But I love walking through the vineyard and, you know, with the vineyard manager and discussing what we would like to happen to the fruit so that ultimately we harvest fantastic fruit. And I don't think there's any place prettier than in a vineyard. It's always a great place to be. All right, so there was actually a little research on, and by little, I mean, I'm a microbiologist, so for me to do research, I expect like large populations. This is not so, but this one research, it was in November of 2014 from PLOS One, and that they found that there was no significant difference between the weights of olfactory bulbs between males and females. There was a significant difference in the actual total number of cells, that females have 43% more cells in their olfactory system than males, and that there's a 49% more difference in neurons. So females, generally speaking, have more neurons in their olfactory system. So by extrapolation, they say that we have a better palate and we are better winemakers or blenders, tasters than males. So what do you think about that?
We are shy.
I just want to say that I often say that to be for wine to be beautiful, you don't always need to be powerful. It can be fine and elegant. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a female point of view, or just focused more dedicated to quality and complexity compared to showing your muscles and your strength. But is it only female point of view? I don't know.
But it's interesting because when you work during all the process, vinification process, and taste the wines, most of the time you are with men, because the consultants are very often men, and the cellar master, because he has lots of muscles, is a man. And so you are in the middle of a men team, but I think they are very careful. When you are here, they are more careful, and their way of communication is different when there is a woman or not. Because when you are not there, they are most of the time I don't know how to say that, but it's a competition lot of time between the men, and to know who is the most influenced during tasting. And when there is a woman, the relation change completely. And they are very, very careful, because we break this play of who is the best one, and you are in the middle and you doesn't enter in their game. And so I think it's very interesting when you work during the blend with the men, they are much more carefully at what they say. That's my analysis. Pure my analysis, it's not, but I feel it. I have this feeling all the time. When you are here, they are much more careful.
I think there are, personally, I think there are more differences of taste between generation than between male and female. Do you understand what I mean or not?
So I understand what you say, but I'm more curious. I'm curious as to hear why you.
For example, sorry for taking the personal examples, but. When I was tasting the first time between my with my father, my sister, and I for making the wine, for making blends, for example, I don't think it was a female and a male palate problem. It was because my father, his generation, he was told that a wine had to be like this, powerful, structure, a lot of tannins, a lot of, you know, he has this idea of a great wine. And we had another idea because the things have changed, the market has evolved a little bit. So the image of a good wine had changed. So I think it was more a generation gap than a very palate problem, I think.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Looking to be in the know about Dracena wines? Want to know when we release our new wines? Find out about all of our accolades and get some behind-the-scenes information? Well, all you need to do is sign up for our newsletter. There is no commitment necessary, and I promise you we won't spam your mailbox with loads of messages. Need another reason to sign up? Quite possibly the best reason? You will immediately get a code for a special discount on all of our wines and be privy to newsletter-only specials. Let Dracena Wines turn your moments into great memories. Sign up simply by heading to our website, dracenawines.com, and fill out the pop-up or sidebar. It will take less than a minute of your time, but the rewards will last forever.
Oh, that is interesting. That is interesting. And again, that goes back to tradition. You know, what used to be being made versus how the wine nowadays has evolved into a whole other identity for itself. It's no longer let me just get tannin in there so that it lasts forever, you know, and that when you drink it, you know, you're going to be sitting down with that huge steak and you need something to build up with that. We're now having wines that have a life of their own, where they're softer, they're being paired with a whole variety of different foods, or no food at all. People are drinking just to enjoy the wine. That's, I like that. Yeah.
And I would like to add that with my sister, our philosophy is to find the best balance. Best balance for the wine, for the vines, for the life in general. But that's really important to keep in mind, to find and balance between modernity and tradition. I don't want to make a wine that people love all over the world, but that don't look like a Bordeaux style. We have to find a great balance between tradition and techniques, a great tradition, a great balance for the style of wine is really important.
I agree with that. I like that. And, you know, I don't think that I've heard it put that way before, about the generational thing, and I like it. Good kudos.
But the new generation, they are more focused about maybe beer or spirits, and we have to catch them, and this is our challenge. But it is very general. It's not about only Bordeaux task, but it is a very general challenge. We do have, you have the same
right
thing. So so we have to find a way to be very attractive for the newer generation.
Right. I just did a podcast like 2 weeks ago about the decline in wine sales across the whole board, and with the big, you know, we talked about the seltzers and how the millennials love those flavored seltzers, and that you can't compete with a flavored seltzer, because we don't want to compete with a flavored seltzer. that is a whole different thing. But it is true. We need to figure out how to bring them back. And in all honesty, those big, massive wines are probably not the wines that are going to bring people who are trying the seltzers and enjoying the seltzers. We need to have are stepping stones a little closer to where they can then learn to appreciate the wines, you know, those move in different levels, getting them back to understanding how wonderful wine is. So my curiosity is, how did you all get together? So it's the women of Bordeaux making wine. I believe there's 20 in your group?
Is that what we... 20.
So how did this organization or this group, how did you come together?
I'm not a winemaker, sorry. Nobody is perfect.
If you drink wine, you're perfect. That's all that
matters. Yes, I do.
Yes, she does.
I'm a good consumer. So I'm from the Bordeaux Wine Council, you know, the German body, which is the organizer of this program. And in fact, this program so gather winemakers, restaurants, and importers. Mm-hmm. And all together, we think that this idea of having women and large format, because, you know, this program is about serving wine by the glass, but using large format. And large format is really something which is incredible. It's eye-catching. Even if you put water in large format, people like it. So we started to explain this action, and finally a lot of people wanted to participate. It's a try, it's a first time for us, but it seems to be very successful, because some restaurants in New York, they already have shortage of wine. It's supposed to last 1 week, but for some of them it will end today, because they don't have any more wine, so this is really good. And they're also very happy, because the consumers, their guests in the restaurant or the wine bar are also very happy. The program covers 66 restaurants in New York,
And you can show the it's a large diversity of restaurants and wine bars. So we think to do that maybe next year in other American cities. So maybe on the West Coast.
Then I'll probably be on the East Coast at that point because, as Steph knows, I'm always on the wrong coast.
Right. And yes, and the winemakers, they were chosen because they were they embodied the diversity of borders. We have dry white, we have red, we have left bank, we have right bank, and also different vintages.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay.
It's a great, great group. Well, we are very proud of that.
It was really fun. The first day we met together, I don't know if you received the picture of all the women on the barrel. Did you see that?
Yes.
That was the first day we met. And all together,
we knew each other, 20
together, and we were at Chateau Focas with a nice caterer, and it was we were received like queens, and it was fun because we had to be made up. So as you can see, we are not made, we have no makeup naturally. So it started like that, and we say, but it's a caricature of the femininity. We are not like that, but it was for the joke, and everybody started like that, and it was a good. I think it was very interesting because we had good relation. We know each other, but never only with women. So the conversation was different, and it was very very rich. We are together since 3 days. With the other one. One will be grandmother in 2 minutes. So that she left. So you see the life of the woman in wine. We are taking care. She will give us a good view. So we are only three now, but it's a great experience because, again, we are close together now. And I think it's nice to speak about this subject. Because usually we never speak about that. We have to say that. And it's fun to speak about that in 3 days. And we say, oh, yes, and da 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 da. So it's a nice subject for us.
Yes. And we feel like belonging to now the same community. So we are now members of the Strong Women community.
Oh.
It's more than that. And I would say that. At the first sight, when I saw information about the program, I was very enthusiastic about the idea of just being here in New York and just making people try Bordeaux wines again, because it's why we work all year long, in order to pour our wines and to see people just enjoy them.
And what I really like as well in the group is that we can share together our fear, our problem, but also our positive points. And I think women they share more than men. Men won't say if it's not
confident
or if it doesn't really the private side of a man is. Something maybe between the in the group, the women are sharing a lot, and I think that's a very woman thing.
We start from breakfast and we never finish.
That's nice.
Is this your first time in New York, or have you been here before?
Yes. So you have a great value.
So I come regularly for work, but I have a part of my family living in the U.S. as well, so that's why it's not my first time. My mom was American. You can't hear that because I'm not fluent, but my mom was born in New Jersey, so not too away from New York.
So I was going to say that because I was reading the bios, but then I didn't remember whose was whose, like, you know. So I'm from New Jersey. That's where
good to know.
That's where I am from. I was like, look at that, and she's in Bordeaux now. I was like, see, dreams can come true. So Your wines have been paired with restaurants. Have you visited those restaurants?
We haven't finished yet.
This is part of the job. I mean, we want to visit the different restaurants participating to the operation, to the program, and we want to say hello, how is it going? That's important that they see female faces and that they can see that behind the bubble there's a woman. I think that's really important, and we enjoy doing this, even if it's tiring.
Have you been at a restaurant where there's been customers drinking your wine? And did you go to the table? Did you go to the table?
Yesterday,
I think we saw 20. How many restaurants did we visit?
15
yesterday.
Oh.
different groups. So we shared a group in 3 or 4, and that was fun because we visited some restaurants. Most of the restaurants, they had other bottles from the group, but not our own bottle. So it's fun to explain the other wines, to speak about vinification, to answer the question with other bottles as yours. And that's a good point too, because it's more open in the mind, collective.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was interesting. It's a great exercise.
It is an incredible feeling when you're out somewhere and, you know, you look over. My husband and I will be at dinner someplace and we'll look over and our bottle will be on somebody's table. And it doesn't get old. That feeling just doesn't get old. It's a wonderful feeling to see it happening. So with your wine that you were pouring here, the large format. There's large format, and you were saying that you have white and or is it just red in the large formats?
No, red and white and sweet wine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's one rosé, but we didn't. The winemaker is not there, but there's also rosé. And I have a turn on the Crémant, so next year I will propose also my Crémant de Bordeaux.
Okay. Let me know that date. So there's something romantic, I think, about large format bottles. It's just so beautiful to look at and incredible to see when it's being poured out. Do you love making large format? Is that something?
More and more. I think a lot of people ask to have big format, large format. And it's completely different if you are 8 people and you have 4 bottles on the table, or if you offer a double magnum, nobody will forget you offer the double magnum. And so that's much more impressive, and generosity for me, the big size of bottle.
But I think also it's a very festive format, because in our mind, it's true that you drink big format for specific occasions, but here it's for everyday wine. It's the wine by the glass. So I think I like the contrast between the image we have of the big format and the way we pour it for the program. I think that's very 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 nice.
Do you when you're producing your wine and you're getting ready to you're doing your blending and you're doing all that? Do you have in your mind, this is what I want to make in a large format, this is going to be a 750, or is it really just we're going to make this wine and it's the same wine that you're putting in a 750 in a large format? Is there any technical things you need to keep in mind when you're making that wine if it's going into large format?
Well, that's, for me, that's important that it's the same wine in the normal bottle and in the big format. I don't want to adapt my wine to the size of the bottle. I think that's a mistake. And so for me, it's the same wine, and it has to be.
And for me, it's my decision as a winery about the amount or the volume we're going to put into 75 centiliters or big format. And depending on the vintage, depending on the yield, because when you don't have a large volume, more often you don't produce too many big formats and profit and bottles. But every year we do make big formats. And just for this program, one of my wines doesn't exist in large formats. It exists only in 75 centiliters. But especially for this event, for this week, we did transform, or we did take the bottles and make them become double magnum. So everybody at the winery came and made work in order to be on time for our distribution.
At Château Thierry, we don't do big format, we vintage only the best years. But we do, when we decide to do big format, we do a lot. And for white wine, we are not used to making it, but probably it gave me an idea or doing even for dry white wine to do it. So, but for the red, we do only the best vintage.
Yes.
And for me, I ask my clients every year before the bottling, who wants a double magnum, who wants a Jeroboam. My maximum size is Jeroboam. And so I know who wants to have bigger format. So I just before I ask them, I keep some for the boutique on the estate for us. But I really do it sur demand, on demand. Because it's a lot of work, a lot of precision, because you do everything by hand. And so it's important to know where we go.
Lori, it's
yeah.
Helen. We're getting close to our time, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to ask any remaining questions. Have we covered? I don't know if anybody wants to share anything else, but Lori, this has been great. Thank you. I mean, it's really fun to talk and to have such a talk now, especially Sunday's International Women's Day. And this has been a very exciting launch of Women's History Month for all of us in New York, and sharing it with you in California is really terrific. So we very much appreciate it. If there's anything else, or just I think everyone has talked
about. No, thank you. Next time you come to Bordeaux, come to visit us, and it will be our pleasure to welcome in our estate.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I was supposed to be coming in 2 weeks for Entrepreneur. I'm also going to bring my husband this time because I keep telling him how wonderful it is there. So, but thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy schedule, and enjoy New York and enjoy the rest of the time you're here. And I appreciate talking with you.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt-Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, sláinte!